Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is a show where we discuss all things separation, forming our own communities, and moving to an area that either we can control or striving to control the area that we are currently in. Tonight we have another wonderful show by our Time to Leave member, Sister Andrea Muhammad, and I'm going to open her mic to let her introduce her guest. Sister Andrea, if you could press the 1 on your pad, that way I can have you in my queue. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Andrea.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Brother Emil was having problems, and I pray that I have him on. Brother Emil, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, excellent. Praise
okay, if you can press him.
He was trying to call.
Are you bringing him on your phone?
Yes, I three-wayed him. He could not. He kept calling in, and it kept telling him that the show, he could not get in.
Oh, okay. Well, hey,
it's not only telling me that, it's also telling other people the same thing.
You must be calling a wrong number. We've never had that before. What do you know the number you're calling?
563-999-6353.
No, 365.
That's not the number.
That's
3656.
Yeah, I just called the number you gave me, sister.
Yeah, this should be 3656.
Oh, that's why they're having a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. 3656. And I had just texted again to you, 3656. So yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see it. That's it. Yeah, I hit the first number is what I sent out to everybody.
Okay. Yes,
let me call in. Let me call in about the number.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And maybe you can go ahead and text that number to your associate, Brother Lemuel.
I got you.
All right. We'll hold tight for you. So those kind of things happen. This is, brothers and sisters, this is live radio. This is not recorded. You are listening to the real deal. And sometimes when you're doing live radio, things don't always work exactly the way that you like them to. However, we can recover. And I tell you, the content, Sister Andrea, I'm looking forward. The content is well worth anybody just holding on tight, because we're going to have a great show. Is that right, Sister Andrea?
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. And last night the brother sent me some links to YouTube videos that had been done concerning the water, and he's going to talk about this absolute water that comes from 800 feet down in the earth on his land. And I mean, it's so much. It's so
wow. Okay,
yes,
so Brother Lemuel.
Yes.
If you're on, Brother Lemuel, please press the 1 on your keypad. And anybody who is on your team, that you forward the number. And we got somebody already. Open their mic.
Yes. Peace and love.
Is this Brother Lemuel?
Yes, it is. Yes, sir.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Yes, sir. Brother Emil, first I want to say just thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey with us this evening. Sister Beatrice, I want to just thank her, Sister Beatrice, for telling me about you. And please, I would just like to start off by allowing you to just talk a little bit about how you got started on this journey, how you visualized doing this, if you would.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I just want to say peace and blessings to the family that is listening in to the show. It's been a long time. It's been 20-something years when this journey got started. And it was kind of like going through a certain phase of my life where I wanted to know something different. I wanted to have something different, wanted to have something better. And, you know, as we travel this road, sometimes we think we're going the right thing, and reality, you know, shocks us right back into this present time and this present moment. But it was a time I went to a church service, particular church service. My great aunt came in, she stopped the service, and she told me to follow her, come with her. And it was kind of weird because she was only speaking at me at that point in time. So everybody got quiet, the church got quiet, so I walked out with her, and she pointed down towards the land. And she said, the blood of your ancestors are crying out for you. You're responsible for this. And at that point, being young, being in my 20s, I didn't want that responsibility because I saw what happened to those that came before me. And it didn't look good. So I ran for 3 years. And for those 3 years, I decided I wasn't going to come back to this land. I ran to the border of Henderson in North Carolina and Virginia. And I stayed up there for 3 years, but that did not work out. So I made a declaration with myself that if I go back to Winston-Salem, I won't go back to that land. And that didn't work out either. About a year after that, I ended up back out here on the land. And that's kind of how my journey got started, or doing what I'm doing now.
Yes, sir. So do I understand, so the land that you have, it was passed down, you were blessed to have family land?
Yes, we were actually blessed to have family land. And this land has been in my family for over 450 years. And so when people look at me and they ask me, are you African-American? And in reality, no. I'm indigenous, native to this land. I was already here. I didn't come from Africa. We was already born on this side. And so when you see me, you go think, oh, that brother African-American. No, we Native American. And it's no different, but they just gave us different names. We're the same people.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. So, and I understand that. So you started 25 years ago. You came back to the land, and How did you start building this community? What did that look like?
Well, it was work, hard work. It was a responsibility, willing to take that responsibility. And when I decided to accept the responsibility, I had to come in and clear off acres of land because they had let it go. Those that was before me, and after my grandfather had let the land go downhill, they turned it into a junkyard, they threw trash, they did a lot of stuff that they wasn't supposed to do. And I felt like, and I'm going to be honest with you, I felt like it was a punishment because I didn't do it the first time when I came out and ran, that I had a responsibility to clean all this stuff up. And it was hard work. You know, you have people to come in and say they will help you. You have people to come in to give you a hand here and there. But when you totally committed to make a difference and to make a change and to have your own community, it's well worth it at the end of the day. And so that was part of how I had to come in and get it started and clean up the trees, clean up the trash, digging my own pond, growing my own food. And it was it's just a lot of work, but it's worth it.
So, Brother Emil, how did you, I mean, I'm just thinking about it, and maybe someone taught you in this day and time, you just said something key. You dug your own pond. So you had skills coming in, or these things you had to learn?
Definitely had skills coming in because I owned a lawn service and a landscaping company, so I kind of knew about how to deal with land, how to prep the land, how to prepare the land, how to grow flowers, food, and et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of skills I've learned from a young child. I had a stepfather, which I called my father, because he actually taught me how to raise livestock, how to raise different animals, chickens, how to fish, how to hunt, how to set up, how to build, how to do carpentry work. All this stuff I learned at an early age. I probably was about 15 years old when I had my first major job where I worked at a water treatment plant. And we built one of the first water treatment plants here in Louisville, Clemens, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Yes, sir. So your land is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina?
No, the land is actually in Yakinville, North Carolina.
Yeah, okay.
Which is a few minutes away from Winston.
Okay, yes, sir. That's what I have in this call. Yeah, I was pronouncing it wrong. It's Yakinville?
Yakinville, North Carolina, which was named after the tribe, the Native American tribe that was here. And that's still here.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir. I'm just listening to you and thinking most of the time, and you, that was a blessing, many of our young boys and young men have no skills at this point in time, and it's been, to me, strategic. So it was a blessing that you had some type of skills coming into it, and it sounds like you basically were doing a lot on your own. Did you have family members that, as they saw you doing it, did you get help?
It helped so much as from family members. We got help from, you had a few people that have come, and they may commit a little time here and there, but it wasn't never consistent. So I had to be the one that was always consistent. And it got to the point where I even had my 4-year-old son. You know, he was out here that I raised from 2 years old all the way up to he was 6, and taught him. And so he has a lot more skills than some of the adults that I even deal with to this point in this day. So, yeah, it was self-taught. A lot of stuff was self-taught. A lot of stuff I had to learn as you go because it's a different kind of world. It's a different kind of lifestyle.
Yes, sir, definitely. Yes, because, and I looked at, and thank you for sending some of the links that you sent last night. I did look at some of them. And, I mean, one of them, you were actually working the land, and you talked about it being hard work, and definitely many times we don't know about that type of hard work. I looked at something that you had talking about the different tools that you need that, and I think of Dr. Ridgely at Muhammad Farms. He talked about how this equipment breaks down and all the things you have to do. And most of us in the cities, we have no idea what that type of life is like. I saw you and I believe it was you slaughtering some of the livestock and so on. So basically,
was showing my son how to do it.
Yes, sir. So you all don't go to the slaughterhouse. Basically, you do everything there.
Yeah, you have to do it yourself. You have to learn to do it yourself because you don't know what they're doing at these slaughterhouses. You don't know what they – I always tell people, if you're not growing your own food, you don't know what you're getting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir. So that is a reality that most of us know nothing about. These are definitely skills that I know personally I don't have. It's a definite reality. It's basically being pioneers, you know, coming in, and you have self-sustaining now your electricity. And how do you all do that?
Well, we use solar. We got some solar, some generators. We try not to use any outside electrical companies and stuff like that, because I always tell people, if they control your electric and your water and your food, they control you. No matter what we think we know, how small we think we are, if somebody else is controlling your resources, then you can't be too small at all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So with cooking, I'm curious as to how all of that is done. With cooking, how do you all cook? You all don't use any gas or anything? Because
use gas. Electricity from what we make, we still use gas, electricity, just simple things like that. We still have to use, if it gets down to it, then we can also use what we call wood stoves and stuff like that, go back to the old time and way, which, as it was in the beginning, it also go back that way in the end.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I understand at this point that you have 13 families on the land, and it's about 1,000 acres, is that correct?
Yes, that's definitely correct.
Okay. All right. And when I was looking at some of the videos, you have younger families, and I think many times it seems harder to get our youth involved in this type of life, in basically being pioneers, starting and survival and so on. But it's going to take our young people being involved, because we need to separate. Basically, you have separated, and do I understand that your land is independent of the United States?
Yes, we got it up under what we consider a foreign trust. And it's not hard to do. And I tell people that it's not hard to do. People just got to be willing to do it. The problem we have is that most of our people live within the city limits. And if you're within the city limits, then you can't do it, because you put that up under somebody else's trust and up under somebody else's care. And that's a problem.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And plus, they're controlling your water resource, your power resource, and your food resource within the city.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes. Wow. That is beautiful, because that is, if we're talking about separation, truly, that is truly what we need to do. That is a true form of separation. Brother, I understand that you have water. I listened to what you shared on one of the links that you sent me, and you have water on the land, spring water. Tell
yes,
us
ma'am.
About that. And it,
well,
it's
spring water on the land. It's very unique because it's not just average spring water. The spring water is actually alkaline. Most springs either 6.9 to a 7, which is neutral, which is on the acid side or which is on the neutral side. But this one right here has 108 different trace minerals naturally, and it's protruding up through bedrock, different minerals, everything that's on this land. And so we even had the geologists and certain people come out and test and everything else, and they asked me a question. They said, did we put all the rocks and everything out on land, because they're crystals and different quartz, which makes the water very different? And we said, no, it's already here. It's like that everywhere. And they were shocked. They was very shocked. And what was unusual, and it's hard to find anywhere, is that we got what we call rainbow soil. rainbow soil, it looks like a bag of Skittles, meaning that all the minerals in the soil is different colors. And anybody that knows anything about minerals, about cells and everything else, that means that plays a big role in it. So that makes this water different. So that's why we call it live alkaline water. And like I share with people, if you take the word live alkaline water and abbreviate it, you get the word LAW, which is law. And that's why God say, know the law of the land.
Wow, that's beautiful, brother. I'm amazed. I listened to that, but I didn't get all of that from that. And, I mean, water is life. And so many places in the world are losing the amounts of water, and we must have water to live. That is wonderful. And do I understand that you all, that it is available to purchase?
Yes, it is. You can actually go online at livealkalinewaterllc.org and find where you can purchase the water, or you can contact us directly and purchase the water.
Okay. And it seems like I may have seen, and so is this in some of the stores? Because it seems like I have seen the live water in a store that I've been in. So it is available in different stores?
Yeah, you got certain stores the water is available in. Right now we are in 16 different states and steady growing because we got a goal in mind. Our goal is to get this water into everybody's household because we know how special this water is, especially for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And what are some of the benefits with this being alkaline, with these trace minerals? What are some of the things?
So some of the things that I don't see, I let the testimony speak for itself from other people. Other people had sugar diabetes. They don't have it. It's done cleared up. Other people had heart problems. They don't have it anymore. Other people had problems with their kidneys. They don't have it anymore. Other people had skin problems. They don't have it anymore. And it's not something I'm doing. It's the blessing from the Most High that He has given us. And this water is very, very powerful, especially when it's got all the 108 different trace minerals that our bodies have to have anyway.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, because our bodies have minerals in it. And, of course, we can't make medical claims. You can only talk about the testimonies of the people who have used it.
Exactly.
Yes,
that's why I tell people, it ain't what I say, it's what the people saying. I let the people speak for themselves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I know that how much of the land are you and the families farming? You're producing your own food. You have animals.
That varies every year. That part will vary every year. That depends on how much we want to farm and where did I go. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a particular number on that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I know you said you raised animals. Now, do you raise animals for the families that are there? Do you sell some of the meat that you produce, or is it?
We have another farm that we actually raise the animals on. That we do sell the food, sell the meat, sell the eggs. But right now, we're on this particular farm. We got chickens and we got fish, and we got food that we grow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, how do you preserve as far as the meat and so on?
Well, a lot of times, like I said, we still modernize. We still got different ways of dehydrating the meat. You can freeze dry the food. That's how we can preserve from food, most of the food.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I know about dehydration, and I know of the freeze drying, because we have one brother that does freeze dry the navy beans, and Sister Beatrice was talking about her grandson with the freeze drying. It's not a concept that I had heard a lot about prior to that, but yes, sir, because my understanding that if you freeze dry the food, it can last for 25 years or more.
Oh, yeah. It can last a long time. I mean, there's other methods to preserving food, but like I said, it's just you got to really come to a class to understand it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the families that have come to you, how did they get attracted? Are these family members or are they people
I don't want to say anything about really the families that's out here because I want to keep, you know, it's private. So I'll kind of keep
part
private just for the sake of, you know, this is family. So anybody who want to talk, we can talk behind closed doors. We don't want to tell all everything that we do, how we doing it, because you never know who's listening.
I understand. Do you welcome visitors?
I mean, yeah, at certain times we do.
Okay. And I understand that you all have started a restaurant. Is that restaurant on the land?
We have our own restaurant. Yes, we have an Avalon restaurant on the land.
Okay. So customers are allowed to come there and to a certain part of the land so they can come and patronize the restaurant.
They're allowed to patronize. Yes, they're allowed to patronize. Also, we have a system that we set up in order for that to take place also, too. Anybody just can't come off the street and come here.
Okay.
We have a system in place.
They have to contact you.
They have to contact us and make a reservation.
Okay. Well, before we get off, definitely if you would share about how someone could get in touch with you to find out about the restaurant or purchasing water and so on before we get off, definitely.
They can go to our webpage at livealkalinewaterllc.org, and all the information is right there how they can get in contact with.
So that's live, you said live alkaline
live,
water.
Yeah, livealkalinewater.org.
Okay. Yes, sir. All right. Well, brother, I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about what you're doing, and one of the things that I think of is it's work, but I also, you know, having our own. Would you say that it's, even though it's hard work, it's a little bit of heaven because it is yours?
It is heaven. I always tell people the only way we catch hell is on the other side. When you build, as it is above, so shall it be below. So we start focusing on building and having our own. It's more of a peace of mind because you don't have to look over your shoulder. You don't have to worry about nobody cutting nothing off. You don't have to worry about, you know, all the foolishness is on the outside. And so, yes, I say we got a little bit taste of heaven on earth.
Right. Yes, sir. And we just have to get out of the concept that we have been taught in this system that you sit down and don't do anything in heaven. Heaven is work, but the work, I'm sure, has to be a joyous work.
Oh, yes. It's definitely, after a while, once you get used to doing this kind of work, it's not as hard as it seems. Because,
like you said,
we got a mindset where they told us to sit down, or they told us, go get an education, go do this, go do that, and then come and work for them. They never told you to go and work for yourself.
Yes, sir. So, I know you have youth, do you all set up, well, I'm sure that as far as any youth that are with you, it'll be almost just a natural thing because that youth will be watching you and learning from you as you're doing different things.
Exactly.
I was getting ready to ask if you had trade schools or anything, or if you had classes, but am I correct? Everyday life is a class?
Everyday life is a class, and I actually had set up a class where I was only charging $25 a month. And you would be surprised how many people became non-supporters of that.
Mm.
I mean, I'm talking about building your own house, how to wire your own house, how to put plumbing in your own house, how to build your own tanks, to do a lot of stuff. And our people have been duped. They have been taken for a ride. And until we get back to what we're supposed to be doing, then we go down this slope. And it's sad, but it's a slippery slope. And that's what's hurting us right now.
And, Brother Emil, I'm just thinking about that, you know, we need plumbing. We need to know all of these things. And, you know, that thing, how to build a house. I don't know, and I don't know anyone who knows how to build a home. You know,
I say 95% of the people don't, because remember they took that out of school.
Yeah.
The only thing they wanted to teach you is to sit behind a desk or go to school and learn all kind of other stuff that's irrelevant to what we have to do. And that's the sad part. We think we have to do what they tell us to do, and we follow that and still be behind and still the last ones.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I hear Dr. Richmond saying that all the time. Brother Carlton, do we have any questions? Anyone with a question that's holding on?
Yes, ma'am. We sure do. But before I open that caller, just want to let all the other callers know that if you have a comment or a question, press the 1 on your keypad, and you will be joined into the conversation. So right now we have Dr. Ridgely. As-salamu alaykum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaykum salam. So,
alaykum.
My brother, I'm fine, brother. So tell me, time to leave.
Say that again.
Our program is called Time to Leave.
Yes.
And so we are trying to help people to make it the decision to leave.
I got you.
So what was the tipping point for you and some of the other people who have moved out there with you? What are some of the tipping points that makes the people decide that they are going to pull out and they're going to do something for themselves and they're going to learn how to be independent?
Well, one of the tipping points for me, and I can only really speak for myself, is that you get tired of being a slave. You get tired of waking up, going to a 9-to-5. You get tired of waking up before you get your check, somebody else done got theirs. You get tired of waking up and they telling you what you can and can't do. You get tired of waking up and being limited. And doing what we're doing, you unlimited. The sky is not even big enough for what we want to do. So you get tired. And when you get tired of hearing all the rhetoric and all the madness and all the unsuccessfulness that people are doing, then you start saying, look, it's time to make a real change. And the only way to make a real change is to do it. I was always taught by one of my teachers, he said, look, the only helping hand is at the end of your arm. You want something done, God has given us the ability to do it, so let's do it. And when I got tired of being tired, I did it. And still doing it to this day, thanks be to the Most High and our ancestors.
So how many years have you been independent?
25.
Now, there are a lot of people feel there are a lot of risks involved in terms of you know, losing income, benefits, health insurance, not having the time to go out to the club or to the movies or the football game. You're going to lose out on so much if you pull away. So what balances that?
I always tell people, you're thinking you're losing out. There's nothing nobody else has that I don't have. I got money, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, insurance, like everybody else have, phones, cars. So I'm not losing. I actually gained because I got an unlimited income. I got a source. And I was taught, and now I think everybody on this call that's listening, understand that when you got people to come before you and lay the blueprint and the foundation, all you have to do is follow it. Food, shelter, and clothing, the basic necessities, and control your resources. Once you got a natural resource, it's unlimited wealth. You got land, it's unlimited wealth. We just got to know what to do with it. And once we learn to do with it, you are not missing anything. I tell people, what good is having a 35,000 square foot house if you could only live in one room at a time? You can only clean up one room at a time. So keep it simple. Keep life simple. They taught us the bigger the better, not necessarily.
You know, when I talk to people who say that they want to get into farming, I always ask them, well, who are you going to sell your stuff to?
Uh-huh.
What is it that you're going to do that people want? How do you find out what the people want so that you can serve them? So how does that work for you?
Well, one thing that I've learned is not so much as what they want, it's what they really need in life. So if you give them what they need, such as water, that's a necessity. They can't do without it. Even if they don't want it, they still got to have it. So they got to get it from somebody. So when I go out and I speak to our people, I say, look, do you rather have God's water or you want man's water? Man's water comes from a sewage plant. God's water comes from the earth itself.
Mm.
Like Malcolm said one time, like Elijah told Malcolm, give the people a choice. They want the clean glass or the dirty glass. So we're giving them a choice. You want the clean water or the dirty water? It's your choice. So by giving them a choice and explaining to them so they can understand what you got, then it makes a difference. So you got to teach people. You got to show them what to eat, how to drink, what to do, what not to do. You got to make them change their life in that form. If they eat right, drink right, our people will begin to think right. And so if we get them thinking right, they'll begin to do right.
You know, I didn't know where you were located until tonight. You know, my home is Winston-Salem.
Yes, sir. I'm originally from Winston.
Oh, okay.
I know this brother is, right?
Yes, sir.
I know you very well, brother.
Well, how come I don't know you?
You do.
Okay.
You just don't remember until you see me.
Help me out. Well, I guess I gotta go finish up on your website.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I'm about to check it out. So did we go to school together?
No, we didn't go to school together, but we ran into each other on the farm. And I used to be in the study groups all the time down in Winston.
Oh, okay. You said we ran to you at the farm.
At the farm, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then not only that, but you had a few people. You had some people. I think last year, the year before last, about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, to mention my water to you when they came down to visit you.
Right. But, I actually been to your farm.
No, you haven't been to mine. I've been up there.
Oh, you've been here?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when I see a picture of you, I'll remember you then. Wow, it's a small world, ain't it?
It's a small world. If you remember Brother Ray Muhammad, that's in Raleigh now, Minister Ray Muhammad. I was up under him.
Okay. Man, I wish I was Minister Farrakhan. Remember everybody. He's
Elliot.
And by name, he'll know who they are. Me, I have to see a picture first. But brother,
yes,
I tell you, it's great doing what you're doing, and you found your mission, and
yes,
you're making things happen. And yeah, mentoring when we had our own system, independent system.
Yes,
the mentoring process was pretty simple because it's your father, your uncle, your aunt. That's who you learn from.
Exactly.
But then they took that away and then put us in a controlled environment where they would teach us just what we needed to be able to go to work for them, but
exactly.
Not enough about anything to be able to do something on your own and compete with them in the marketplace.
Yes, sir. And that's the reason why, brother, we have to now make a change, and the change is whether we can support or can't support, stop supporting their system. What do I mean by that? If you got black farmers that's growing food, go directly to the farmers, and we need to tell the farmers, stop getting all these government assistance because they're killing you.
Right.
They really tricking you into these contracts and taking everything you got. Stop contracting with the government. When I say government, I'm talking about a particular government, a particular system that's destroying us and helping us destroy ourselves by being ignorant to it.
Well, I was working with the black farmers in the lawsuit, and, I've been trying to convince them, instead of trying to get back in with the USDA, let's get together and set up our own system, our own market system,
exactly.
Market our product.
Exactly.
Co-op.
Exactly.
But
and I agree because I was with the Black Farmers Association at one point. I was in my 20s, and I seen it then. and told them, y'all going to have a problem down the road. And now you see the problem.
Yep, and now they got a new bill that they just passed, and everybody think they'll get some out of that. Well, the devil's in the details. So until I see the details of the bill and then how it's going to be implemented, you know, it's just another way of keeping hope alive so that we will not break loose. Now, one thing that we had wanted to do, and to show you how the government works, and like you said, just stay away from the government, we thought we would put 10% of the Black Farmers Lawsuit money into a kitty. We would set up a co-op, okay, where we would be able to sell some of our products through our own co-op. They didn't give the Black farmers the money that they – okay, they only gave 60% of the farmers the money. But they didn't give it that 60% at the same time. It took 10 years.
Yes, sir. I know.
To get the money out.
Here's where the problem. We're still trying to depend on them to give us what we already should be making circulating amongst ourselves. We got enough people in America and throughout the world to do business. I know that for a fact because I do water. And we have more than enough. So we have created jobs, and they have created jobs up under them, and people have created jobs up under them, able to take care of their family, take care of their household, their needs. And that's what we need to do. When we start asking to give this and give that, then we start going in the wrong direction. No longer can we ask. We just got to do it. The ones that want to do it, if we do it, we'll be successful. And that's what I've learned through this struggle and through this travel that I've been traveling.
In your traveling around.
Yes, sir.
Are there people doing things and just not talking about it? Or just
exactly.
About doing it?
Exactly. They're doing, it's a whole lot being doing. They ain't saying nothing. That's why I say sometimes you have to get with people. And it's kind of hush, but it's growing fast. You remember the song, the poet say the revolution won't be televised?
Right.
Some things you just can't say. You just do it. Right now, we as a people, we talk all the time about what we want to do, and we're telling those who don't want us to do it all the time. Look what we're doing. Look what we're doing. If we stop saying it and just do it and build, you'll be surprised. Let's get a root hole into what we're doing, and let's make it happen. No more can we continue to do all these long speeches, this just talking, this rhetoric. And not having any proof to back up what we're saying. When we're able to build, I always tell people this is real reality. When you're building and doing what you're supposed to do, that's the reality that we create for ourselves, and God has given us the ability to do that. So now it's time to just do it. We can't depend on people that don't understand. If they don't understand, they're going to become a hindrance. If you try to teach them, they don't want to learn, they'll become a hindrance. So we go to those who understand, are overstanding, and work together, and let's make it happen. You build it, they will come.
Well, thank you, my brother. I was wondering,
yes,
Brother Carlton, is there any more callers?
Not at this time.
Okay, because I don't want to dominate the conversation. So thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
I'm about to come visit with you.
Yes, sir. No doubt.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Now, brothers and sisters, we still have some time left on the show. If you would like to ask Brother Emmanuel a question, now is the time. Press the 1 on your dial, and we'll be glad to bring you into the conversation. Sister Andrea?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, we got some callers.
You know,
we got somebody.
Oh, yes,
when you
sir.
Bring them on?
Absolutely.
Okay. Caller with the last 4 digits, 0432. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Beatrice, and I'm calling from North Carolina. And I wanted to find out what else is necessary at this time that needs to be done. Just looking for some inspiration for others that's listening that haven't found their niche and want to jump in and get their hands dirty.
Brother, this sister here, do you know Sister Beatrice?
I know her very well.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, because she ain't just lip dripping. Okay, so you already know.
Oh, trust me, I know. I know she got my respect.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that we have to do, and I always say it, and Mother always know I say this, We have to stay diligent, consistent, regardless if it don't look good, if it don't feel good. We have to keep on pushing. The right people sooner or later shows up. A lot of times we get in a crunch, and we need this done and that done, and it's hard work. I mean, it's very hard work sometimes. But if we be patient enough and stay, I always say patient and stay prayed up, the right people will show up. When the teacher is ready, the students will come.
Well, brother.
Thank you for that question, Sister Beatrice.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Do you have any other comments?
Did it answer the question? Because I want to make sure you get your question answered.
Well, can you hear me?
I can now. The question was answered. Just looking for the inspiration, and you said it quite well.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
That's the only caller we have right now.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Sister Beatrice.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Sister Andrea.
Okay. Yes, sir. Brother Emil,
yes.
One of the things that you talked about on the link that I saw was creating the perfect time and the perfect opportunity.
Yes.
And that's something, you know, talk about that, because I don't think we even think on that level most times of, first of all, of creating anything. Can
okay.
you share a little bit about that thought?
Yeah, what that means about perfect time, perfect opportunity, usually our creativity come out of pain. It's when we're going through something is when we have to figure out something. And so a lot of times we think when we already have it and things are going smooth, we think that's the perfect time to do things. And in reality, if you look at most people, they're doing things that don't even really doesn't matter in a sense for their own liberation and salvation. But only when they're short of finances, only when they'll get ready to be put out into the street, only when things just go haywire, is that the creative mind starts truly working. Because you always figure out a way to get things done. And if we do that and keep that mindset, then we become creators again. We become builders again.
Yes, sir.
That's what I
yes,
mean
sir.
By the perfect opportunity. Because we're going through what we're going through, this is the perfect opportunity to separate, to build, and have your own. We just got to do it. We got to be willing to do it. We can't be afraid to do it.
And,
you know,
Sister Andrea,
brother,
we have another caller.
Oh, go ahead.
Caller with the last four digits, 5491. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Brother Charles. I'm calling from Houston, Texas. I want to thank Dr. Resnick for giving me the Blog Talk number. And I'm very inspired listening to Brother Emil. I wanted to ask, how would you suggest we go about acquiring land?
Well, one of the things I suggest to people, and what they don't know, a lot of people don't understand, is go back into your article. When I say article, go back into the archives in your state. Because usually your family had land in particular states. If you were born in a particular state, your family had land. What's done happened is they put it into the trust of somebody else. And these people that they put it into a trust of somebody else could be working for the state, and they got it where you have to pay taxes, you got to pay this, pay that. Usually you're still the owner of the land, you just don't know it. You just don't know where to go search for and look for. That's how you go back and acquire your land back. Or if you want to acquire and purchase land, always make sure any land that you buy has springs on it. You want water on your land. You don't want to have to so much dig for it. You want to have a natural spring source. That way, when you track the spring head down, you know how to tap into it. You want to get land that hadn't been chemicalized all this time for the last 400 years. You want clean land. You don't want wasteland. You don't want swamp land. A swamp land is
right.
No good. And you don't want land that you can't get water. So when you're acquiring land, these those are some of the checkpoints or the boxes you should be checking off.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to come in on that. You really gotta do your research.
Yes, sir.
You just can't. People, they see an ad in the paper, or somebody got some land up for sale. They said, "Listen, I got you some acres, man. You know, it's real great. It's real cheap, though. You better check into it, man. You got to check into it. You know, you got to see if there's any problems. Is it usually a landfill, or does it get swampy when it's the rainy season? Do you also have the mineral rights, or does that belong to somebody else? What are the restrictions in the county that land is in? I mean, who is in charge of that county, and what do you want to do with the land and make sure that you can do it in that county without having to go to the county commissioners to get permission?
And that's the reason, not to cut you off. That's the reason why, if you look for it, always go to a place where it is unincorporated. Always.
But still, even though it's unincorporated, it's still going to be underneath the county commission until you can pull it out, right?
It's easier to pull out. Because when it's unincorporated, what they're telling you, what we don't know once we do our homework, that land really truly belongs to somebody else. They just put it in our hands to take care of it, or they put it in the trust for us to do what we're doing. And you just got to take it back out of that trust that they got it in.
Okay. It seems to me like that needs to be some type of course, man, that you can information you can put out to help people in that, because this is new to me in terms of that trust.
Yes.
Okay.
You see, everything you got to remember, when they say the United States of America, it's a corporation that we're dealing with. It's
mm-hmm.
not truly land owners. And we know what a corporation is. It's a business. And that's why these people are doing business as.
So, if you go down to the courthouse and
yes,
there's land there, and there's a deed, and the deed was paid off,
yes.
Then who owns that land?
The original owner. That's why you got to go back. That's why I always say go back to the wherever capital is in your state. It'll tell you who the original owner was of that land.
Okay.
And they still own it. What happened, they don't understand. When you go register your stuff, you're basically giving power over to them to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take it out of the registration, you can still have it where they know, put them on notice where it's there, but you can take it out of their jurisdiction, their registration. It takes work. It takes diligence. But you can do it. And once you do that, they got a different file for your land. It's not in the same file as taxable land or state-owned property. And once we understand that process, then a lot of us can do that. But like I said, you can't really do it in the city because it's a whole different process.
Does it have to be a certain amount of acreage before you can pull it out, or any
no,
amount of
no,
acreage?
No, it doesn't. Any amount.
Okay. All right. Well, we gotta talk. I need to talk to you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Learn something. Yes, sir. Crazy to Allah. Okay, brother, Andre, brother Carlton, anybody else on? Any more questions?
Not at this point. Somebody heard you, Dr. Ridley. Somebody just pushed the button. I'm gonna bring them on. Call them with the last four digits 5597. Put your name and where you calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Kim Muhammad. I'm calling from Missouri, and I wanted to know, do you all have a number that I can call and listen to your program over again?
Yes,
with
ma'am.
Replay.
You can just, yes, ma'am. You can go to our website. It's blogtalkradio.com/timetoleave.
blogtalkradio.com/timetoleave. Okay, because I miss most
and of
this program.
Back, you can play it again, and you can download it, and please tell your friend.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, and all of our past episodes, all of them, on the blogtalkradio.com /time to leave, and they have archived. You'll be able to get, listen to all of it. So, brother, what's your last words to us?
Well, my last words, and I always tell people this, and I say it all the time, eat right, drink right, and you'll begin to think right. Once we start thinking right, we'll begin to do right.
I like that, sir. Yes, sir.
Well,
and please give your website again.
Website is livealkalinewaterllc.org. livealkalinewaterllc.org. And all the information is on there to contact us.
Thank you so much, Brother MBL.
You're welcome.
This has been truly, truly education, and I mean just so much information.
Yes, ma'am.
Peace and blessings, sir.
Peace and blessings, family.
As-salamu alaykum.
I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my force of truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more country. Fast eyes burst into Ripley, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth.